McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And good morning and welcome back again to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and we have returned for yet another show. And now, Jonna, again.
Yeah.
I get surprised.
Yeah. We're starting to talk gangster.
Exactly. So two things. One, your latest alias is Babyface Finster. So very nicely done. So yeah, Muggsy, come on. We got something to do for the boss. Come on. And
we
also two. And did you say off air that you wanted to complain about something?
Well, I did, but I said it because I feel guilty that this morning I really have something to bitch about, if I can say bitch.
Well, you just did twice.
I did. And it was like, so I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get into that in 1 second. But I have to tell you that before I get into that, probably why I'm a little bit crankier than usual.
Yeah,
today.
It's good you added the that's definitely a qualifier that's necessary.
I'm crankier than usual because I shouldn't even admit this because it's like embarrassing. But I hurt myself when I was walking out of my house to my car, and I ended up hurting my hand because I bought myself a flamboyantly colorful metal giant lawn rooster. And I put it in a...
Of course you did. Okay.
No, I did. I couldn't resist this thing. I saw this flamboyantly colored giant lawn rooster. I couldn't resist. It was like 250 big ones, you guys. I mean, it was like really expensive. And I bought it and I put it kind of in the front of my house on this little paved area. And every time I walk out of my front door and around the corner to like go to my car, it scares the crap out of me. Like, I forget that it's there. Like, what is that? Oh, it's just my giant, flamboyantly colorful lawn rooster. And I did it this morning, and I ended up, like, kind of dropping something out of my hand, and it sort of, like, hurt my paw. Anyway, I'm like, I guess I got to move that thing. I don't know. I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with it because it scares me every time.
I can completely see... And you're very, being an attorney, and part of what you do is represent DWI clients. You're very responsible mm-hmm. when you go out and have a cocktail or four. Mm-hmm. And you always mm-hmm. get an Uber or, you know, someone to drive you who's not drinking. I can completely see you coming home at night, a few cocktails in you, getting out of the car, forgetting about the rooster, and getting a fight with it. And I can see your handbag like... Mother ever, what are you doing?
All right, so I have two things, Jonna. One, I think what might help is that you need to name the flamboyantly colorful metal rooster that's in your front yard.
Oh, Frankenberry, yes.
So that you can come home and say, "Hi, Phil. How are you today?" Something like that.
Dag nabbit, Edgar.
See, there
Stop
you go.
Scaring me.
Of course. See, you humanize them a little bit and or personalize them a little bit, and things will be easier. And then the other question I have is, when you hurt your hand, is it terminal?
You gonna die?
Frankenberry, you know me. Isn't it always? Of course it's terminal. Come on.
It's already gangrenous, for God's sake.
Oh, I got the name.
Oh, what's the name?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, my God. That is perfect. That is perfect.
Anybody younger than 25 right now is like, who?
Yeah, I know exactly.
Looney Tunes.
That is perfect, except Foghorn wasn't as colorful. Mine is like all the colors of the rainbow. But anyway, it'll work. It's good enough. So on to the thing that's really stuck in my craw. Is that how the phrase goes? Is something stuck in your craw?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what happened the other day. Now, the first part of this has probably happened to a lot of people. And that is, I was logging on to, I have an account with E-Trade. Now, E-Trade lets you, as people know, you can trade stocks. I have a checking account with them. There's different things you can do on E-Trade. It's like having a bank account. And just as most people do from time to time, you log into your financial institutions when you need to do stuff like pay a bill or check on things or what have you. Nothing out of the ordinary there.
Correct.
But I noticed over there, I went to log in over the weekend and it gave me a message. It wouldn't let me log in. And it said, there seems to be a little bit of a problem, teeny tiny problem. Try back again later. If the problem persists, then call, 1-800-E-TRADE. Now I figured on the weekend, sometimes these banking institutions, especially they'll do maintenance on their websites. I didn't get overly concerned about it. But I logged in, probably another 24 times and that didn't work. And I finally got to the point on Monday where I said, I'm going to have to call them. I'm going to have to relent and call them. Now, sidebar, Carol knows, and you might know too, Frankenberry, but Carol knows that Carol and I, we don't like talking on the phone. Like, phones are great for texting or, searching the internet. We don't like to actually talk on them.
Yeah,
am I right, Curly?
Now tell me about it for the times that I try to call you because I don't want to text and nobody picks up the damn phone. Okay, because you see, I'm old. Okay, I text with one finger. All right, I text with a thumb. It takes me forever. And if I have to talk about things that are a little long, I would prefer a phone call. But of course,
I'll start taking your call, Frankenberry. Sorry.
Frankenberry, you're still in training. We have been trying to train you for 10 years.
12,
I think. Not to call us. We need to know that if you're calling us, it means that you're dying and we need to pick up the phone. Otherwise, we're just going to look at the phone and go, Frankenberry, how many times do we got to tell you? Don't call. It's just that good.
Okay. So here's my question for you, Jonna, because in this particular scenario, I'm still going to have to freaking text you first to tell you that I'm dying and I'm going to make a phone call to tell you about it.
Perfect. Do that.
That's actually a good point, Frankenberry. That's true.
And that's a good plan. That's a good plan. Text us to tell us your time.
Hang in there long enough for one more text, Frankenberry.
That's right. If you have a choice between calling 911 and texting Jonna to tell her that you're going to call her that you're dying, go with the texting Jonna.
If we, if we were able to take live calls like we used to, I bet you the majority of people, if we said, do you like to talk on the phone? The majority of people would call us up and say, heck no. I don't know why. Anyway, back to my point.
Hey, you have trained me well. You know that if I'm calling you, it's only because I need to tell you something about the show or something else that's important that I just don't want to text it because it's way too long.
Frankenberry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do to make it up to you? I'm going to call you when we're done with this show. Just talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. Okay. Chef Boyardee.
All right.
Pink monsters and cereal, whatever you want to hear.
Exactly. All right.
And that'll cover you for a while.
Okay, so, pumpkin.
Anywho, I keep getting this dumb message that in order to solve this problem, which was kind of a big problem at this point, you guys, because, if you can't bank, then you got a problem, right? There's only so long you can go without managing your money. So it occurred to me that I was going to have to pick up the phone. I was going to have to call E-Trade. I was going to have to speak to a human being. I was going to have to. So, okay. So
she's got that gangsta. Doesn't she have that gangsta going today?
It's in the back of her head, man.
Gonna have to.
Yeah. So they don't open until 8:00 in the morning. And so, of course, I get on the phone at 8:00 in the morning. You get through a little, voicemail tree. And then I finally got a human being on the phone and I explain, blah, blah. I can't log in. Says to call you. He's like, okay, great. I can't solve your problem here. I have to transfer you over to the quote account activation department and they can help you with this particular problem, which I had like, you know, like a big question mark appeared over my head, like account activation department. I've had this account for like 10 years. Why do I have to go? But I said, okay, whatever, fine. Transfer me over to the account activation department. All right. Well, he does that. And there's this music on hold. And I'm not kidding. I am not joking when I say this. And you know that even though I do have a penchant for exaggeration, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this right now.
Because we know this from experience. Go ahead.
Right.
After 19 minutes on hold, just listening to the background music, after 19 minutes on hold, I made the executive decision to hang up because I figured they forgot about me. I'm going to have to call back. So I hang up at 19 minutes. I call back. I get a live person again, and I explain. I was just on hold for 19 minutes, blah, blah, blah. Here's the problem. Oh, yeah, nope, we got to shove you over to the account activation department. But by the way, the hold time right now is 22 minutes. So I had this vision. I'm like, you know, like all the stories about, oh, when you're trying to set a goal, don't give up because you're going to hit your
right.
goal just right around the corner. I'm like, God darn it. So I said to him, and I kind of laugh and I go, huh, isn't that always the way? I waited 19 minutes, but okay, patch me back through. Now I know that it's going to be at least 22 minutes. I'm okay. Patches me through. I'm on hold. So on my second phone call, now that I know that I was supposed to wait 22 minutes, I waited 22 minutes. I waited 28 minutes.
Oh, no.
I'm not done. 35 minutes. 44 minutes. 44 minutes on phone call number two. And I couldn't wait any longer. I had to go because some of us have to, you know, work. So I had to hang up and I said, okay, I'm going to wait till I get to the office. I'm going to have to call for a third time. All right. I will cut to the chase because this was so infuriating. I ended up calling E-Trade. This is no joke. I ended up calling them five times over the span of 6.5 hours. My last phone call to them, I was on hold for 1 hour and 1 minute.
Ouch.
When I finally got a person. Now, I said to this person, I'm not happy at this point.
God help them.
Like, I lay into him and I'm like, this has been 6.5 hours. This is my fifth phone call. I've been on hold for 1 hour and 1 minute. I don't understand why can't I access my account? So he, you know, he opens the heavens and he says, oh, well, we just need to verify the bank account that you have connected to your E-Trade account. And I said, okay. Why? Oh, well, from time to time, we just need to do that. Okay. So 6.5 hours, five phone calls. I've been on hold collectively for about 3.2 hours, and you need to verify my bank account. What do you need to do? He's like, we're just going to call your bank with you on the phone, and we'll take care of it right now. So they do that. I'm on the phone with him after 6.5 hours. They call my bank, and this is what he says. Hi, bank. Bank says, yeah. I just need to verify that Jonna Spilber has an account with you. Yes, she does. Is she a signatory on the account? Yes, she is. Is the account in good standing? Yes, it is. Okay, thanks. Okay, you're good. Those three questions.
So
now I say to him, and I'm like furious, and I said, listen, I know this is not your fault, but I cannot, like, is this going to happen every week? Why do you randomly decide that my account needs to be verified? And he was trying to explain to me, I said, and why did it take 6.5 hours to get this call made? And he said, let me tell you something. He's like, he apologized. He's like, all I can do is say I'm sorry. But for example, right now, while I'm talking to you, he said, we have 84 people waiting in the queue. So,
wow.
I basically surmise that every single business across the country is shorthanded, right? Because or there was some sort of security breach that they're keeping secret, and a million of their customers had a call at the same time, but they weren't being honest about it.
That would be my first guess, by the way.
Yeah, I think you got that right there.
Which really ticks me off because there was a point in the 6.5 hour span where I was very frustrated and couldn't get any answers and couldn't fix the problem, where I said to myself, you know, what if I log on and all the money that was in there isn't there anymore? Like, this is why people bury their cash in the backyard. to avoid the, and it's like, but you can't.
Under
like,
a giant rooster.
Under a giant flamboyantly colored rooster.
Exactly.
Foghorn Leghorn. Yes. but it did, it, like, it scared me for a minute. And I'm like, could you imagine, like, if there was some big cyber event, we could all be kind of screwed that way. I mean, I don't want to be all, you know, conspiracy theorist or anything, but this was a little bit of a wake up call. A little bit. I'm not saying I'm actually going to bury my money under Foghorn Leghorn, because that would be too obvious. You'd all be at my yard with pickaxes. All right. I'm not going to do that.
Right. But I'm sure your dad has a shovel if you do change your mind.
But I think what I might do is, and Carol is going to be in on this with me, because we are great at these million-dollar ideas. We need to invent some really clever hiding places for money, for cash money, cashola, like that nobody would ever suspect. Because everybody knows you can't put like a Campbell's soup can, you know, people know, oh, that's going to be hiding money. Or something in the freezer, like a fake fish. Oh, that's going to be hiding money. We need something super duper.
Wait a minute.
I mean, until you outed me, the rooster would have been great.
I have an idea.
Okay.
What?
What about a large plastic rock? Nobody's ever thought of that before.
No. Who would ever look there?
Exactly.
You know? Or under the mat for the front, for the key to your front door. Nobody would think to do that.
Of course not.
Frankenberry, I know. We can take cans of Chef Boyardee.
There we go.
Take the bottom lid off, right?
Yep.
And put something weighted in there and put the money in there.
There you go, because there isn't another person in the universe who's going to eat beefaroni other than me. So people will just walk away from those cans. You know what I'm saying? They look at those cans and go, whoa, oh. And then they just hightail it out of there.
That is true. You know what I'm thinking? Oh, what? Man, this is gross. I shouldn't even say this because it's okay. But what if you had like, let's say you had a beloved pet who passed away and you were going to like bury it in the yard. What if you make it look like you had a pet that passed away and you have a little pet coffin and you're like, oh, here's Fluffy, you know, died in 2002, but it's not Fluffy in the little pet casket. It's
that's
all
a good
your
idea.
Pet.
Okay.
It's all your a good pet. Idea. And so you're going to sell that in a kit?
Are you going to stick a cross in the yard with it?
Yeah, no, but you definitely make it look like it's your beloved pet Fluffy, but it ain't, you know? Who's gonna dig up
but
Fluffy?
It ain't. She's but got this gangsta thing going this whole time. She's really living up to her baby face finster.
But it ain't, right? I mean, what do you think?
I can go with you on that one, Jonna, if it makes you feel better.
I think that could work. I'm just saying. I mean, if somebody's really concerned, like, you know, if you went through the trauma I went through yesterday, it's something to think about.
I have a friend who keeps cash around for real. He's got a great hiding spot. I'm not going to say it publicly.
Oh, crap. Really? Like great. Just don't say it out loud. Just say one thing.
Well, I'm not going to let you guess.
No, I won't guess exactly. I just want to know, is it in the house or out of the house?
In.
Oh. Hmm. Back in the toilet tank? Like where the drugs are?
Yeah. Right. And that handgun that's left in there earlier in the day so you can take out the boss during lunch?
Oh, I know. Inside the picture, the picture's actually a safe, but you can't tell that. And it's up in there. It's all up in there.
Up in there.
Oh, God. All right, fine. You're going to tell me off the air. And then you're going to give me the address.
Oh, look at that. She's such a gangster today. You're going to tell me off air. And then you're going to give me.
Right. If you don't want to be, I was going to say, if you don't want to be swimming with the fishes, because I always do that.
any Sagoos coming your way, kids?
I got no. That's Sagoos up to you guys.
That's your jab. That's your jab.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I love money. Money's one of my favorite things. And sorry, this is the best I got for you. But we have one of my very favorite people coming up. After the break, she's been on the show before. We love her so much. She's brilliant and funny and full of love. She is an assistant dean at Marist College. She is a Gallup certified coach. I'll give you more when we come back from the break about her. But she's here to talk to us today about stop trying to fix what's wrong with you. And she's going to explain what we're talking about with that. You're going to love this girl. Her name is Robin Torres. When we come back, she will be on the line with us.
Nope. I'm not coming back because there ain't nothing wrong with me. So I'm going to snooze it up.
That's right.
Snooze it up.
You got everything handled. All right. That is what is on the way. We got the fixer. Yo, the fixer's up next. Okay? The fixer Torres. Some people call her lefty. I don't know why, because she's right-handed. But anyway, she's on the way. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spielberg and Carol Pesci, and we will be right back with Robin Torres. Stick around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spielberg and Carol Pesci. And it's time to get to our guest. And we have a return guest today. And we have Robin Torres from Marist.
Yeah, she's a local girl. She's a good friend of ours. She's been on with us before. Listen to what this slacker does. So she's got a Bachelor of Arts in Literature, a Master's in Psychology. She's a licensed mental health counselor in New York State. She has an advanced certificate in executive leadership from Cornell. She teaches community psychology, public presentation, and psychology of self-development at Marist. She's an assistant dean of student engagement and leadership and an adjunct lecturer in psychology and communication. She serves on the advisory board of the National Society of Leadership and Success. She's a Gallup certified executive coach, and she provides leadership workshops in the Hudson Valley area. Did I tell you or did I not tell you? She's a slacker. And you would think and that's just a tiny piece of her resume with somebody that intelligent that they might be apt to bore you. No, she's good. Not this girl. So Robin is here with us today to talk to us about stop trying to fix what's wrong with you. And this really is going to tie mostly into her Gallup certified executive coach role, but she's going to explain to us more about that. Robin, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Oh, thank you, folks. I have really missed this terrific trio. You are hilarious and serious, and you take kind of tough things and make us just laugh at ourselves and think a little bit. And I genuinely appreciate the joy in that. It's great to be back.
Thanks, Robin. Yeah, I get one thing we don't do is take ourselves too seriously.
Nope.
Especially Jonna. So, Robin, maybe a good place to start with this topic is to talk about the principles of what Gallup is about.
Sure. So, you know, there are many different kinds of assessments out there, and I have gone to school for sick amounts of times to be certified in each of the different ones. But the one thing that has really appealed to me is Gallup's focus on strengths. The world really focuses much more on diagnosing what's wrong. We love a doctor who tells you what's wrong and tries to fix it. Gallup is one of the few things that's sort of part of that positive psychology movement that looks at what's right. And there's a lot right about every single one of us. And we are so much more apt as people and as a society to focus on the things we are not quite that good at than we are to focus on the things where we really do excel. And, you know, Carol and I were sort of bouncing some ideas around about maybe writing some of this down. And it made me start to think a little bit like, what if, you know, what if somebody said to Monet, you know, you have a really interesting paint style, but how are you with sculpting, you know? Or what if somebody said, think about that. What if somebody said to Charles Dickens, God, your stories are long. What do you think about poetry? It's what we do. And anybody who's ever won an Oscar, a Tony, a Grammy, a Pulitzer, whatever it might be, somebody has said to them, you're probably never going to get there. And somebody has also said, you're good at this, but what about that? And all of those things are actually lies. We're unique, we're strong, we're powerful. And the things that are broken aren't really broken. They're just simply not preferences. And when you really pour gasoline on the spark of your preferences, that's when we really soar in this life. So that's kind of a summary of Gallup. It looks at 34 very well-proven strengths, and they're broken down into four different domains: executing, relationships, those kinds of things. And what I can tell you is we have a top five where we operate most fluidly. We really use 10 to 12 every day, but nobody has nothing in something, and no strength is greater or worse than another. You have a 1 in 33 million chance of meeting somebody whose top five are the exact same as yours in the exact same order.
Wow.
Isn't that fun? You want to really freak out. You have a 1 in 447 trillion percent chance of meeting somebody whose top 10 is exactly the same as yours in the exact same order.
Wow.
However, in better news, you have a 1 in 275,000 chance of meeting somebody who has the same five as you, just in any order. So life is a Venn diagram. You'll always meet people that you have commonalities with, but it's really about looking at what's right and beautiful in each one of us. And that's really our base of power. That is really our source of happiness. It's a much better way to look at life than what's wrong with you.
And it's a way of, I remember you told us, and it's been a while since we talked about this topic, that if somebody, you know, and you look at self-improvement, so someone looks at something they think is lacking about themselves, whatever it may be, and they put a lot of energy in trying to fix that aspect of themselves. And you gave a statistic, I think it was a statistic, Robin, one time where you said if you took that same amount of energy and accepted what that piece that you think isn't good enough, found out what your strengths are and put that same energy into developing your strengths, like eons, an incredible amount of progress more.
Most definitely. You know, when you take your talent and you give it some effort, that means you practice it, you learn more. You get to immediate strength, which is when you do things virtually effortlessly and almost always 100% the way you would want things to turn out. When you put effort into areas in which you're weaker, that's where you get frustration and minimal improvement. And that's a lot of the problem with the work that we choose. We choose things that are not within our range of talent. And that's why at the end of the day, you're exhausted. But when you do what you love, you know, you teased me in the most gorgeous ways about my resume. And I can tell you, as you said, there are plenty of things you left off too. And you look at that and that's insane as a cluster of things. But I love those things. So it doesn't feel so insane most of the time. Most of the time. That's a whole nother topic about our strange thoughts about what happiness really is. It's really important to know who you are and know where you stand and put those things together.
So Robin, if someone's intrigued about what we're talking about right now, that they can assess themselves through the Gallup program to identify what their core strengths are, how could someone do that? Where do they go to do that?
Sure. Honestly, it's as simple as if you want, you know what, you can think about this like you think about a yoga class. If you want to, you can go online and YouTube yoga, get out your mat and you're good to go. But if you want somebody to adjust your position, help you work on different parts more specifically, then you want to go to a class or maybe have a trainer. So if you're looking at sort of the bottom line level here, you can go directly to Gallup. Gallup.com online. You can take the assessment, and that gives you, by the way, you can choose to see your top five strengths or you can see all 34. I like the 34 because I know that we operate 10 to 12 all the time. Our top five is our easiest. I also love knowing my bottom five because the things that I find more difficult, these are places I look for people to be able to supplement, you know. I am not somebody, for example, who does well with logistics. There are people now cracking up. My staff knows this. If take a diagram and 400 people are crossing each other on the staircase, I have them smacking into each other. other people give me charts of what that can look like so nobody gets hurt. It is not a strength. And I have people who are really, really good at that. But the bottom line is, on that website, you can get the reports back and you can work along with the website, or you can work with a coach. You can do both. And coaching is where you get more specific. I use what Gallup calls the name it, claim it, aim it model. And that is understanding what your actual strengths are, getting comfortable with them and claiming them as your own so that you really see the range that they operate within, and then aiming it at your life goals so that you're able to get to places with a little bit more ease and a lot more production.
You know, Robin, I don't think the timing could be more important for somebody to really understand this concept about we all have strengths, they're all unique, how rare it would be to find somebody else who has the exact same as you in the same order. Because we live in such a time, Robin, where we're comparing ourselves to other people, and then we feel like we don't measure up, or we're lacking somehow, instead of understanding what's strong about us already, celebrating that and leveraging that.
Exactly. And I'm going to jump in for a minute. This is somewhat of a shameless plug, but not really. In addition to the things that you mentioned, I also have a consulting business, and it's called Crossroads. And my tagline is dare to be rare. And the idea here, I mean it, dare to be rare. And usually in audiences, I will talk to people and say, you don't have to share with me, but I want you to raise your hand if you've walked into a room and felt like, for whatever the reason, you are not like anybody else. And slowly and with discomfort, almost always, all the hands go up. And I say, look around. The truth is, you're right. You're not like anybody else. And you've been taught to feel terrible about it. There are ways in which we exclude people that are very real. But it's true about every aspect of ourselves. The only true lie is perfection. That is like a mental health thinking issue. You know, it's a cognitive distortion. But we aren't like anybody else, and we need to learn to be really happy about this. And we're very happy to brand product. We will spend hours and hours branding a product, but we won't take that same time to understand our personal brand, which you are the CEO of you. And it's really a pretty incredible thing when you powerfully know who you are.
Robin, I have a question. I have a question about that, because can it begin as simply as following your own gravity, meaning recognizing the things that bring you sheer joy, and then figuring out how you turn that into a livelihood. I mean, even like as a child, you do things that make you feel good, but you don't have any, you're not monetizing it because you're a kid. Can't we just monetize it as we get older and be very happy with our career choice if we listen to ourselves?
Oh, and this is another one of the reasons why I love you so much, Spillboard.
Yes, boom.
Yes, boom. In fact, you can. You can. And there are interesting ways to do that. You think back at certain life moments, and when you are being cognitive about this, you realize it's your talent talking, and you can turn it into strength. For example, if you all think back, and I'm going to challenge you for a second, maybe to do this now too, just as we're here. Think about a time where you were doing something and you just loved it. And you looked up at the clock and you said, oh my God, I didn't realize I'd been at this for so long. You were just at it and time seemed to just pass. You learned it quickly and you were really interested in it. Do each of you have something like that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, creating new books, or when I'm working on a book that I publish for somebody else.
Well, that, my darling, it. Right there, that is your talent talking right there. And so you need to figure out how to take that talent from talking to walking and turn it into a true strength. And I think you have. So what do I know about you? You love the power of words, the ability to influence and to give voice to people who may not feel so heard. That's an incredible thing. And it expresses itself in radio. It expresses in broadcasts. It expresses itself in writing. It expresses itself in many different ways. You understand the way your talent talks to you.
I feel like I want a Robin app. And like whenever I need a boost, or maybe like one of those buttons. John, remember the Jensen Chero from You Are a Badass, the author?
Oh,
had,
yeah.
Where I like press the button, I could get like Robin to talk to me, to boost me up.
But just think of how much happier as a society we would be. I mean, so many people spend their lives doing things they don't genuinely love because it's a paycheck. I get it. And a lot of people have to do that. But if you could combine your love of doing what you love with money, we'd all, you know, there'd be no more road rage. There'd probably be no more crime. It'd be great.
Yes. And you know, it's work for a reason. And people who tell you it's not, they're lying. It's another one of the lies we tell each other. More days than not is really what you want. More days than not. Right. I am so happy to get up and go. I can tell you what my job, and it's going to be 30 years for me in September, believe it or not. Wow. I am not always happy when the alarm goes off, but I'm always happy to get out of my car. And that's a really strong signal.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's a very strong signal. And honestly, why am I happy? Because I've been blessed to be in a place that has allowed me to work my strengths. I don't have a job per se. I have some key characteristics. And one of them is influencing and teaching. And my work, when you put together all those different strings, is really about influence and helping people find their best selves.
How can you, Robin, how can you use your strengths? Okay, so we're talking like big picture, like doing what you love and making that a career, making that part of your lifestyle. How are people able to use their strengths on the smaller things, on a smaller scale? And I'll give you an example, because maybe I'm off base here. Let's say I'm a lawyer, I love what I do, and that is actually true. But let's say there are days when I don't feel like getting out of my car. and let's say there are small things that happen that chip away at my happiness, even though they're related to the thing I love to do. Like, example, I received a nasty email from somebody who said, when you email me, I do not want you to use any capital letters in your email because it aggravates me. So next time you email me, make sure you don't capitalize anything.
Oh my God.
And that made me, that's a true story. And that made me say to myself, why am I doing what I do if it's reduced to somebody getting mad because they don't like that I capitalize the words the?
Well,
how do we fix that?
I have to ask the bigger question there. And that is, why does somebody feel empowered to tell you how you should speak?
And I actually had that same thought, except mine didn't come out as eloquently. I was like, who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if that was supervisor, colleague, client. I'm not sure. And see, different people approach it differently. Here, I use my communication, which is one of my top five, and my woo, which is winning others over. And if I was in that situation, Monday morning quarterback, I'm here talking to you, I would have to say, I see you're really bothered by something that feels relatively innocent. Can you tell me what that's about?
Nice.
See? The Robin app. I'm telling you.
Yep. Oh, my God. That'd be great. That's a really, good approach.
I don't remember what mine were. But how young is it helpful? Because I feel like if you're in junior high school, it might be a good idea to start getting a handle on that before you start your educational career path, right?
Yes. And before we go there, I just want to return to Jonna for a minute. I don't want you to feel like maybe you didn't say or do the right thing. And believe me, by the time I've given that response to the email, I've already eaten a sleeve of Oreos. Perfect is a lie. Okay. Perfect is a lie. And you can't hold yourself to that. And my way is not your way. We are each our own recipe. Mm-hmm. That's how I use strengths to find my way. Your strengths might lead you down a very different path. There is no one way. Those of you who know me know I have poor eyesight and I wear glasses. My prescription doesn't work on you. And we all have a prescription. So you have to feel good about that. And now to Carol's point, yeah, the younger, the better. Our basic strengths show up very, very early. And if you think about your young baby selves, which I'm smiling because I can imagine how adorable each one of those would be, there are probably moments that you can trace where somebody said, hey, you're really good at that, or you got your first applause, or a teacher noticed you, there are probably moments that if you trace it back, relate to what you're doing right now. That was your strengths talking. So you can see strengths very, very young, and you can encourage them very, very young. You know, my children all do things. I have adult children now. Can't believe that just leapt out of my mouth, but it did. They all do things that people think I'm sort of crazy to support, and yet they've followed their strengths, and it's incredible. I have a politician, a musician, and a technician. And what I say now is, thank God I'm done with tuition. But the truth.
Oh, nicely done.
But the truth of the matter is, most people would look at that and say, a life of politics right now? Are you crazy? Well, my son is a servant, and he has always had that sense of, and Carol, you know him a long time, being impossible to reconcile the unjust no. And my daughter has been a musician since the day she was born. I mean, she has always been a musical kid. And you know what? She's working in her field. But there are too many people who say, oh, no, 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 you'll never make a living doing those things. You know, to go be whatever the other field might be, whatever we believe the safe field of the minute is. Yep. And it's not true. It is utterly not safe to put someone where they're not shining. That's what's not safe.
Great point.
I feel too, Robin, like this would be useful for employers as they're hiring people so they can adjust and play to the strengths of their employees rather than trying to pigeonhole them into being robots and everybody doing things the same way. Know what's great about them and leverage that.
Oh, absolutely. And you see it much more in industry now. And a lot of resumes now come in with people's top five strengths. Forever, even before I did this, I stopped asking the strengths and weaknesses question. I always ask the, what are your strengths? And then I, instead of saying weaknesses, I'd say, what are things that you enjoy less that you would prefer to have others work with you on? In other words, what are better places of collaboration?
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
I really like that because I've always struggled. If somebody asks me what my weaknesses are, I usually say I don't have any, which is a lie. But it's like, why do you want me to admit that I have weaknesses? Like, it just seemed counterintuitive. It didn't feel good to talk about that. I don't know. I'm crazy.
Holy, is that not the most terrible question? Can you please expose the worst of yourself as you're trying to get something you're interested in? Thank you so much.
Right. What's really ugly about you? Tell us.
Oh, that's so true.
Well, I think the greatest weaknesses question should be posed to you in a different way and say, what are your greatest weaknesses and what friends of yours can I ask about them?
Well, funny you should say that, because another question that's very frequently one that I will ask is, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself. And if I were to talk to your supervisor, what would they say about you? And if I were to talk to a person that you supervised, what would they say about you? And how would those things be different?
But that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to take a quick riff here, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Since we're talking about employees and we're talking about hiring, which is such a big deal right now. And people tease me, Carol knows this about my Robinisms, rechanging a phrase. And, you know, it's just a thing. One of the things I talk about is hiring. And at the end of the day, and I've asked a lot of people this, it comes down to two questions and all the rest is commentary. We are looking for two basic things. In what way do you make my life easier? And that means what can I assign to you, give to you, collaborate with you on and feel like you're able to do it? And the second question is, in what way are you enjoyable? And in other words, if we're in a big meeting and there are lots of chairs, do I want to pull out my chair next to you? If there are no's in that, you're not the hire. If there are yeses in that, you are. And it's pretty much that simple.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
Robin,
works.
Robin, we love you so much. We're coming to the end of the time, at least for this time. We will absolutely have you back. We're wrapping up with Robin Torres, one of our favorite people. If you mentioned are you still doing coaching? You're so busy at Maris. Are you still working with people if they want to explore the Gallups in a one-on-one with you?
I am.
The Gallups.
Developing like a pony. I'm doing a little less of it now because of the busyness, and I'm doing a lot more for teams and groups because people are struggling so hard to make their strengths work in numbers, having been so apart during the pandemic. But I still will do occasional individuals. Yes.
But you will you go to employers and work with them too?
Oh, I have. And I've done a lot of Zoom too.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Okay. So how can people get in touch with you, Robin?
Sure. I have a very long email address that were I to have done it again. Ready? Take out your pens because it's just as bad. It's crconsultingandcoaching@gmail.com.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, that's okay.
Read it one more time.
crconsultingandcoaching@gmail.com.
Okay, very good. Robin, we love you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Yes. All that you do to make the lives of other people better.
And thank you. And can I just do one quick shameless plug?
Sure.
Of course.
Today is our 35th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, Will.
Happy anniversary.
Yes.
Thank you.
Indeed. Robin, thank you so much for joining us again today. And so enlightening and also so much fun at the same time. So we appreciate that. And you're listening to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Thanks again to Robin Torres. And we are not quite done yet. Segment number 3 is on the way. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again one more time to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frankenberry.
And
so Robin Torres was fantastic as always, so energetic and so vibrant.
And so warm and so intelligent and so present, really, like she really sees you. She just cares so much about having an impact. I love her so much.
She really is. Like she's very unique in that way. And you know, one of the things that she does that I noticed, I've always noticed it, but especially now, like if you've ever been in a conversation with somebody who is the opposite of her, which I have, it's really off-putting. In other words, like people who you're having a conversation with them, but they are not listening to a single word you say. They're talking about themselves or looking around the room, or they're not like that. She's the exact opposite of that. She is so tuned in. Even here, like we're not even in the same room with her, and she was so tuned in to us and what we were saying. That's just a very warm and unique personality trait. I love that about her.
It is. And I'm going to take that Gallup test again, the strengths test. I don't remember if there was a fee for it. It wasn't much, but I don't know where mine was or what it said, but I'd be interested in that again.
Because I wonder if they change, right? I guess
I meant to ask her that. Yeah. Or either they change or you understand yourself better as you get older and can answer it better, more accurately. That could be too.
Yeah. One or the other. Because I know that, I mean, we can all probably say there are things that I enjoyed maybe doing now that when I was younger, I didn't, and vice versa, you know, and things that I'm better at now. I would say, I think maybe they can change.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I can eat asparagus now. You know,
I wonder if that's one of the 34 strengths.
Asparagus eating. I'm sure it's on there.
That's
probably
right.
Probably at the top under A.
Having food tastes change. Yes.
Jonna, it's funny that you brought up that she is the opposite of what you commonly see when people are not really hearing you when they're speaking with you. Because last week we were talking about pet peeves. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have that many. And then one happened to me in the meantime. And I'm like, well, that's one. I got to bring that up. But when you're speaking to someone and as you're speaking to them, they answer you or talk right over you before you're done with your sentence. It makes me crazy.
It
makes me crazy, especially if that person is the one that just asked you a question. And you're answering a question and then they're talking over you before you.
Yes. No, I am with you on that. Yes, that has that has been the cause of the occasional relationship's demise, as a matter of fact.
But it's inconsiderate. It's saying I what you have to say doesn't matter. But Robin,
I'm not listening to you.
Right, Robin was doing the exact opposite of that, fully giving you her attention, being fully present, hearing you, letting you know what you have to say matters, and
Yeah, that's very important. Very important. And by the way, when you're speaking of pet peeves, and this is a little off that subject, but it's still a pet peeve. And I think I told you guys mine last week, you know, about the putting the divider down on the conveyor belt at the supermarket.
At the grocery store.
Yes. You know, when it's completely right. unnecessary to do right. so. You know, my stuff is all pushed to the front and somebody steps in line behind me. And there's like 3 feet between my stuff and where they're putting their stuff down. But they still feel the need, like I said, the Pavlovian thing to put down that freaking divider. And it's like, no, the divider is not necessary. Okay. Put it back in its little slot. So the first time I go to the store after you, the three of us had discussed this little pet peeve of mine, which, by the way, Jonna, I think the important word in pet peeve is pet. Thus to go back to something that happens to you on a regular basis. But anyway, so the first time I go back to the store, I, as always, again, being a single dude, I've only got a couple of things. I've got some seltzer water. I've got some cat litter and cat food. And I put all my stuff down and the guy behind me only has one item. And the woman in front of me is almost done. And I'm like, this is perfect. There's not going to be a divider issue. The kid working the cash register on his own grabs not only one divider and puts it between my stuff and the woman who's almost
That's
another divider and puts it behind my stuff in front of nothing because the guy's got one thing in his arms. And I stood there.
Frankie Berry, like, he must know who you are, and he heard you on the radio last week.
I guess so. It's like, I guess I got to stop saying this stuff out loud.
Pick me, please, before we go. Pick me, Jonna.
Girl in the back with the funny bump in her hair.
Okay. Frankie Berry, I will give you $100 again.
Again.
If you remember last week, I was going to give you $100 if you walked in and took all the dividers, right? Remember I told you I would do that? Remember?
You did tell me that. Yes.
Okay. I will give you $200 if you go to the store next time and instead of, when you put your stuff on the conveyor belt, in between your stuff and the person's stuff behind you, you put your own rear end. Just hop on that conveyor belt and sit there. Just sit there and move along. You are your own divider. $200, Frank. Come on.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to say the next time I do this, I take every divider that's there and place it between my stuff and the next person's stuff and look at them and say, just to make sure there's no issues.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it. Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, listen, again, I want to say thanks to Ms. Torres for joining us this morning. That was absolutely fantastic. And I hope for the folks that were able to tune in that you learned something from Robin. And if you didn't catch that and you're just tuning in now, just make sure that you head to our website, k104online.com/happyhour, because you'll be able to catch the show there. So anyway, until next time, until next we meet, ladies.
Okay.
Yes, Baby Finster and Miss Pesky and myself, we will be back. This has been Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci and myself. I'm Frankenberry. Join us again next week, and we'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.